Pro-Life on WVNN. Pro-Life news and a bullet point prayer for your week with Copper.
Happy Sunday and welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Copper, and this is Prayers for Life Radio. Now, we've got some breaking global news this week. Spain has just passed a bill in their lower house voting to prosecute pro-life sidewalk counselors with jail time for talking to pregnant mothers going inside the abortion facility and for praying. This bill says, quote, people who harass women entering abortion centers or the staff that work in them through offensive, intimidating, or coercive acts, such as taunting or praying, could be punished with jail time. One pro-abortion feminist group supporting the bill said, quote, prayer is not freedom of expression if the end result is coercion, end quote. This bill is just one among many across the world that enables abortion activists to control the speech of those who disagree with them. In the U.S., plenty of cities have buffer zone ordinances that prohibit pro-life advocates from talking to people within a certain number of feet of an abortion facility. This has happened in England, where a man in a wheelchair a couple years ago was arrested for praying outside the abortion facility in West London. In Western Australia, lawmakers also passed a buffer zone law that would prevent anyone from going 150 meters within an abortion facility. Those who violated it would be thrown in jail for 12 months. Of course, there are many arguments against this, including, you know, that it violates free speech and that the standard set out in this bill is completely arbitrary. Offensive, intimidating, or coercive acts such as taunting or praying. Of course, who gets to decide that praying is offensive or somehow coercive to the level of a taunt? Also, since when are taunts criminalized? Last I checked, verbally aggressive behavior is not criminalized, even in countries that have less freedom of speech than America. Definitely in America, speech that people don't like or find upsetting is not criminalized, although, of course, liberals are making a huge push for that to be the case. And, of course, they want to be the ones to define what means offensive. We have seen a couple victories, though, pushing back against the control over free speech when it comes to being pro-life. In Kentucky, a police officer faced disciplinary action after he prayed at the 40 Days for Life prayer vigil last year. He was not yet on his shift, and he was wearing his uniform, but he wore a coat over it. He went with his father to pray peacefully outside the abortion clinic. It hadn't even opened yet. They caught him on security camera, sent the video and the photos to the police department, and they pulled him off duty, suspended him for 4 months with pay to investigate his action and claimed that he violated the policy of the department. Now, people have pointed out, of course, that many police officers in this area, specifically in Kentucky, Louisville Metro Police, they have been caught attending LGBTQ and Black Lives Matter rallies while in uniform and while on duty and have faced no disciplinary actions. So a small victory here for Matthew Schrenger. He was awarded a $75,000 settlement just this past week and apparently is in good standing with the police department. They have admitted that they have misapplied their department's policy. Basically, they refused to admit that he had done nothing to violate their department policy, instead saying that it was policy not to let police officers protest or express freedom of speech, even if off-duty, but they admitted that they were selectively applying this policy. Schrenker had, in the past, received multiple commendations for his work in the police department, so he's a great guy, and it looks like they still have a decent relationship with him, but he has been awarded a $75,000 settlement. A major newspaper, The Telegraph, has also issued a correction after lying about the number of women who die each year from illegal back alley abortions in Malawi. So for decades, abortion supporters have gotten away with just outright lies about the safety of abortion, of how many women used to die from illegal abortions, of complication rates, of what abortion pills actually do. You name it, the abortion industry lies. But in this case, we also have a victory for accurate speech and accurate dissemination of information. This article from The Telegraph referenced data from the Guttmacher Institute, which is a pro-choice organization that used to be a branch of Planned Parenthood and is now their own organization that has sometimes accurate statistics, because abortion centers actually directly send them their numbers of abortions and demographics who receive abortions for them to collect into a database for the whole country and for other parts of the world. But in this case, the data was completely inaccurate. They claimed that roughly 12,000 women die from backstreet abortions each year in Malawi. However, an Oxford University researcher and medical doctor published research that refuted this claim. And The Telegraph was forced to publish a correction, not just stating that they were wrong, but actually including the correct estimate. The WHO, UNICEF, and others estimated that, in fact, 2,100 maternal deaths occurred each year in Malawi, but that's total maternal deaths, and only a small proportion of these are attributable to unsafe abortion. That includes, you know, maternal deaths from childbirth, from complications post-childbirth, etc. We don't know how many are actually attributed to unsafe abortions. That's a huge difference. 12,000 women to a fraction of 2,100. The abortion industry lies. You got to keep on your toes. This happened in America as well. Perhaps you may have heard of the man Bernard Nathanson. He was the co-founder of the National Association for the Repeal of Abortion Laws, NARAL, later renamed the National Abortion Rights Action League. So he was very supportive of abortion and became one of the prominent pro-life advocates behind Roe versus Wade and the legalization of abortion across America. He was also an abortionist himself and was personally responsible, by his own claim, of 75,000 abortions. Later, he converted to Catholicism, became pro-life, and came out and revealed all of the dirt behind the process of legalizing abortion. He said that a poll found that most people in America were extremely against permissive abortion, yet within 5 years, they managed to convince the Supreme Court to legalize abortion throughout America. They used very deliberate tactics in order to achieve this result. One of the biggest tactics they used was completely lying about the number of illegal abortions done annually in the U.S. They said the actual number was around 100,000. But they gave the number 1 million to the media. Their intention was for the media to repeat the lie often enough that people would start to believe it, which they did. More significantly, the number of women dying from illegal abortions in the U.S. each year was around 200 to 250. The figure they constantly fed to the media was 10,000 maternal deaths per year. As we revisit the Roe versus Wade decision and that old argument gets pulled up again and again, as people claim that the moment abortion becomes illegal again, tens of thousands of women will die each year, it is important to remember the legacy of the abortion industry. It was founded on lies. It continues on lies. Abortion supporters around the world build their industry upon these original lies and these continued lies, which enable them to twist laws and prosecute and throw pro-life individuals in jail. We must be aware of this, and we must defend against it. We must be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. Yes, we must love those and speak graciously to and about those who oppose our views on life. And yet we must be careful, and we must know what they're up to so that we can defend against it and protect life. We'll be right back with some prayer. Stay with us on Prayers for Life Radio with Copper. Show. I'm your host, Copper. Now, I wanted to remind you all of the purpose of this show. It is twofold. I first want to stay informed and help you all stay informed about what's going on in the pro-life and the abortion worlds. It's important to know what's going on so that we can combat it, both at the personal and local level, in our churches, at the legal level, and in prayer. That is the second purpose of this show, is to encourage you all to pray alongside me in an informed and specific way each week. Prayer has power, and prayer in the end is what will change the hearts and minds of people who are engaged in abortion. It will change the hearts of parents who are considering abortion. Now, there are many different ways to pray. And I was reminded and encouraged by a good word from my pastors at my church, Valley Fellowship, that Thanksgiving is a crucial element of prayer. Now, on the show, we've discussed some other elements of prayer. We have used the Lord's Prayer as a format. We have looked at Scripture to make sure that what we're praying is in accordance with God's will. We focus on repetition. Each week we come to pray about abortion and pray that God will rise up on behalf of the helpless, of the widow, the orphan, the oppressed. We have poured out our hearts in intercession for those in need, for those who have sinned and done wrong, for those who are lost. And now I want to remind us all again of the power of thanksgiving and praise. Philippians 1:4 says, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy," or some translations say, "with thanksgiving." Psalm 100 also speaks of this, and it's a short psalm, so I'll read the whole thing for you here. Psalm 100 speaks of this as well, so I'll read the whole chapter for you because it's short. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Now, when we bring supplications or requests before God, our King and our Judge, we can think of it as entering into a courtroom. There is something wrong in this world, in this land. There is injustice when it comes to abortion, and we need a just ruler to make a decision in his court for us. And God says that when we do this, when we come before him in prayer into his courtroom, where he is overseeing the world with perfection and holiness, that we should enter with thanksgiving and praise, even as we bring before him our case, our plea. This was a timely word for me this morning because I've been kind of crushed, not knowing what is coming out of this show. Yes, we are commanded to pray and to pray ceaselessly. Yes, I have seen evidence in my own life of how when I pray, God answers my requests. And yet sometimes I still wonder, why am I doing this? Why am I just talking into a microphone, out into a void? Where does God want this leading? I feel like unless I know the plans that God has for me, unless I can decide for myself that his plan has a hope and a future for me, then often I don't want to do the task that he's put before me. I say, God, okay, I will pray if I know that my prayers will be answered. God, I'll pray if I know where you want this to be in 5 years. God, I'll pray if you make it easy for me. But that's not what he wants. When Jacob wrestled with God for his life before he met his brother Esau, he wrestled the whole night. He was wearied, he was sweaty, he was tired, and in the end, his hip was wrenched out of its socket, and he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. Sometimes, oftentimes, coming before God in supplication is hard, and we don't know where it will end up. And yet we still are told to come before him with thanksgiving, joy, praise, and that can make all the difference. When instead of coming with a mentality of, I have to achieve something, and unless I see the results, unless I know where this is going, I lose heart. If instead we come at it with a mentality of, I know God is good, I know his love endures forever, and that his faithfulness continues through all generations, then I will come and praise him. I will say, Lord, thank you that you are faithful and just and that you will not let abortion continue in this country. Thank you that you are good and that you despise evil and murder and will put an end to it. Thank you that you have made us and that we are yours, all of us, both large and small. Thank you that we are your sheep and that you will protect us and care for us and chase after even one small lost sheep, leaving even the 99 behind. When I come at prayer in such a way, my heart is lightened. God says my burden is easy and light. So often it feels the opposite of that. And yet when we choose to have joy, when we choose to praise him, when we choose to see what he has done for us rather than what we wish he would do in the future, it changes my heart, and I hope it changes the stress and the anxiety that you might feel as well. I never resonated with the verse, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Because I worry more when I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I want God to tell me, in 6 months, Roe versus Wade will be overturned. In 6 months, your prayers will have been heard. But he says in Daniel, after Daniel pours out his heart to God for 7 days and more after seeing visions that troubled him, God sent him an angel who told him, God heard your prayer as soon as you opened your mouth. Yes, you waited for 7 days. Yes, you waited in troubled spirit, but God heard you as soon as you opened your mouth. You don't have to worry about tomorrow, for God is faithful and good. Now let's pray together with thanksgiving.
And now, a bullet point prayer for your week.
God and King, we come before you with joy and thanksgiving. Thank you for being a powerful and a wise God who does not allow us to be deceived by those who seek life. Thank you for revealing your truth. Thank you for coming to the aid of those who have been attacked and surrounded by those who wish to destroy your people for standing up for what is good. Thank you for calling some of your people to pray and to stand up for the unborn children in our country. Thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to soften their hearts so that they could not say, no, it is too hard, but that, like the police officer in Kentucky, they go forth and they pray and they stand up for the unborn. Thank you that you are changing hearts to admit lies and deceit. Thank you that you are making new those who were murderers. So many murderers have accepted Christ and returned to you. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you that you are continuing to do so, that you are still the same God who has compassion on even the worst of us. Thank you that you are one at a time pulling out people in the abortion industry, changing their hearts to know it is evil. Thank you for giving us good teachers who will teach us scripture and ask us, how is your prayer life? Are you praying? Do you care about what God cares about? Do you have a heart after him? Thank you for wooing us, drawing us back to you, not letting us go on in our sin, and turning away from abortion. Thank you for giving us compassion and a sacrificial love that comes only from you. Thank you for being a good and faithful God. We shout for joy to you. Everyone here in North Alabama, in South Tennessee, shout for joy to the Lord. Worship him with gladness. We come before you with joy, thanksgiving, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
We invite you to take a moment to pray with us each week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you've missed any of the podcast, you can subscribe to Prayers for Life Radio wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, Google, Apple, you name it. If you have a question or comment, or would like to suggest a future topic for the show, you can find us on Facebook, Prayers for Life. I would love to hear from you. Thanks, and we'll see you again next Sunday.
This has been Prayers for Life with Copper.